Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on the radio. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I hope you'll give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you're joining us tonight down in Florida, well, I'm envious. It was 25 degrees when I got out of my car to come into the studios tonight, and some of you in Florida are there just because of that reason. You got tired of getting out of your car at 25 degrees or less. And I understand that as we get closer to the end of the week, we are going to be seeing some below normal temperatures. We're talking about teens and below here a week from now. And it looks like we're going to have a cold Christmas and potentially some snow. So we may have a white and a cold white Christmas here in northeastern Ohio. I heard some of my wife's family down in Kentucky, in northern Kentucky, said that they're expecting several inches. I heard one place they were expecting like 6 to 9 inches for Christmas in northern Kentucky. And usually it's the other way around. We get it up here. We're up in northeastern Ohio, close to Lake Erie. And we often get that. And my wife's family down in Kentucky, you know, sends a message or something and, you know, laughs and says, well, better you than us. You can keep all that. But it looks like they're going to get quite a bit of snow slamming them down there. And haven't had a chance to look at the weather reports elsewhere across the country. And it's like Craig said, they're not used to it down there. I remember when I was a student at Colorado State, I came from, you know, northeast Ohio out to Colorado, and I learned a couple of things. People who lived on the plains in Colorado, they were terrible when it snowed in terms of driving, because one of the neat things about Colorado was that even in the wintertime, generally the sun would be so bright that at least the roads would melt off quickly, during the day at least. But the people who lived in the mountains, they knew how to drive in snow because there was roads in the mountains that would be snow covered all winter long. And the other group of people who were absolutely horrible when it snowed, one snowflake in the air is sighted on campus, and all the students that were from Arizona and New Mexico just about would go crazy, and Texas. They didn't know what to do. And it's not quite that bad in northern Kentucky, but they are not geared up to the extent that we are in northeastern Ohio for heavy snow, especially a little east of here where we have what's called the snow belt. And where I'm at, we're kind of a secondary snow belt. And because of the higher elevation, the water comes, or the air comes off from the lake. And when the lake is not frozen over like it is right now, the air comes down out of Canada and it's dry. And it soaks up water off from the lake like a sponge. And then as it comes ashore and it begins to hit the higher elevations, Lake Erie is down 700 and some feet above sea level. Where I live, we're up closer to 1,300 feet above sea level. And so in the process of the air coming up over those rise, you wouldn't think about it. But what happens when you squeeze a sponge? Right? It sucks up a lot of water. When you squeeze it, the water comes out. And in the wintertime, it comes out and it freezes and it comes down as snow. And right now, Lake Erie is pretty open. And we've got some cold Arctic air that's going to be coming through. So I'm not a weatherman, but I'm anticipating some snow coming our way as a result of that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how we're doing next week. Hopefully Things will be going fine. But wherever you are, I hope that you had a great day today and that you're enjoying the Lord's blessing and getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. This is the week leading up to Christmas, and we're going to join with a question that came up in the last hour. For those of you who aren't aware, we actually, in some places, we're on the air from 10 to 11, and then other places join us at 11 o'clock till midnight. So we're on actually from 10 till midnight. If you go online at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find us there, and you can listen to our entire program, all 2 hours. From 10 o'clock until midnight on Sunday nights, plus our half-hour program on Fridays from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. There's also links there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and I invite you to visit us there this coming Christmas Eve. We have a special Christmas Eve candlelight service at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. We're looking forward to it, and we gather and we sing some songs celebrating the birth of Christ, and then we share some memories and praises of things we're thankful for in the past year. And when we do that portion of it, actually before we do that, I read the birth of Christ according to the scriptures, which I will, by the way, be reading in the last half hour of the program a week from tonight on Christmas night. And it is the birth of Christ, as I said, according to the scriptures. It's nothing but scripture. King James Bible and Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, other parts of the New Testament, and no extra words added. It's one complete narrative giving us about the birth of Christ, what the Bible says. And I hope you'll tune in on Christmas night for that. It'll be in the last half hour. And then we read that, and then that's when we have a candle lit in the center by that time, and we turn down the lights, and everybody comes forward, and as we share a memory or something we're thankful for the past year, praise the Lord for something, and light a candle, and we walk around the room, and it spreads the light from that one candle, and by the time everybody's lit a candle and walked around the room and shared what God has done for them, we can see how much brighter the room is. And of course, that's symbolic of the light of Christ. When you come to Christ, and that light is carried with you as you go out into the darkness of the world. And the more believers that are out there, the lighter it is, because the light of Christ is shining out from us into the darkness that's around us in the world. And so, like I said, if you're in Northeast Ohio and you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve, join us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Richfield, Ohio at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. It's a commercial building. We're in Suite 200, and that'll be 7 o'clock this Christmas Eve, Saturday, December 24th. And after the service, we'll have a time of fellowship, some refreshments, some Christmas cookies, all that nice stuff. And if you can make it, we'd love to see you this Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. All right, well, we're going to get back to a couple other things. Just a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com. And you can call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to pick up our call here with Terry. And Terry, I want to thank you for waiting. And yes. I know the people joining us did not hear the previous part of our conversation, but we were talking about the kingdom of God, weren't we?
Yeah, we were talking. Well, we started off with the Pharisees who were asking Jesus a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're, and Jesus answered them and said that the kingdom will come not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or there, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's in Luke chapter 17, starting with verse number 20. And when we came to the end of the last hour, and I wanted to pick this up because it is important when we think about this. You know, the Old Testament people, we saw that in Hebrews chapter 11. We call that the faith chapter of the Bible. And it tells us that by faith, Abraham, Moses, Noah, all these people look forward by faith to God's promises. And one of those promises that they looked forward to by faith was the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And we today, as Christians, we look back at the Messiah who came. He from their perspective, he was not here yet. From our perspective, he's already been here. But from God's perspective, as an eternal being, where every moment of time is just as real to God as every other moment of time all the time, that moment for God is an eternal moment that exists, and God experiences it. So when the people in, you know, Abraham, for instance, looked forward to the coming Lamb of God, as far as God was concerned, it was just like when we look back at the Lamb of God who came in the person of Jesus Christ, and by faith, their sins were forgiven. By faith, they became, you know, the kingdom of God. They became part of the kingdom of God, and so they were, you know, they were by faith added in. In that sense, that's what we were talking about.
And I also believe that, you know, the great now, as we walk down the street and we talk to people or whatever, it's Jesus. Hopefully, it's Jesus that's speaking to them, and Jesus is in their midst or among them, like he was among the Pharisees, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was.
Well, yeah, and there is that, and it's the same thing too. If we could go by extension, oftentimes the world does not recognize the faith that believers have, that walk with Christ. The world doesn't see that either, just like the Pharisees didn't recognize Christ. And sometimes it wasn't just the Pharisees that didn't recognize Christ. Even the disciples had difficulty recognizing him.
Yeah, Philip was one of them, eh?
Yeah, said, exactly.
Show us the Father and it just suffices.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in John 14.
And of course, remember, Jesus said basically, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Which is a picture of the deity of Christ right there.
Yeah. I had that whole chapter memorized before, John 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite chapters. I guess that's one reason why I memorized it all.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, you know, I kind of envious of people who are able to memorize large swaths of scripture. My forte has always been memorizing and understanding principles and ideas and concepts rather than the detailed wording. And I've known some other people who can almost like, you know, having a recorder. They can read it, memorize it, and they can recite it. And now what's really good is when you have the best of both sides, when you can memorize and recite word for word large quantities of scripture and understand the principles and the ideas and the concepts behind those things. That's what we all ought to strive for, shouldn't we?
Yes. And there's one other thing I was going to mention
Let me interrupt just a second there. It just occurred to me, having said that, you know, hey, we're coming up on the end of the year, aren't we? And people make New Year's resolutions, and I know that's another 2 weeks before it's New Year's, but hey, why not make a resolution to study the Bible and endeavor to memorize more of the scripture and to understand more of the concepts and things that's in it? So, but just throw that out there before I forget about that.
On a daily basis.
Yes, yes.
I say start now, but...
Oh, that's true. That's true. You don't have to wait until the new year. You can start now. I don't think God will mind. So.
Yeah, because we're all creatures of habit. If we're going to break habits, we've got to break them now.
Or if we're going to establish habits, which is sometimes what we need to do.
There's good habits and there's bad habits.
Yeah, and yeah, we don't have to wait until New Year's to establish a good habit of reading and studying and memorizing Scripture. So, but anyway, you had something else you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I was going to mention this before. When It says, as in the days of Noah, so shall there also be the Son of Man.
Right, also in Luke 17.
So Luke 17, 26, starting at 26. Mm-hmm. And it says, also in the days of the Son of Man, they shall eat and drink and marry, and wives and were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark. The Lord took Noah out before that came, before that happened.
Right, right.
Before the flood came, right? And the same with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lot, sir.
Or Lot, yeah, in chapter 28 there.
Yeah, it says they did eat, drink, and they brought and sold, and they planted, and they built it. But on the same day, Lot went out of Sodom, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, fire and rain and brimstone from heaven destroyed them. So the minute Lot left Sodom, then that's when God poured out his wrath upon him.
Yeah, and
that comes to the end of the days, like the end of time. When the Lord comes, which it could be at any time, his return is imminent. And that's what comes to me, is that the Lord is going to take the church, and then his wrath is going to be poured out on the children of disobedience.
Yeah, and remember, this is in answer to the Pharisees' question, which was there in verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And what they were interested in when they asked the question was not about salvation, and it wasn't about those things. It was about, when was the Messiah going to come and establish his kingdom on this earth? That's what they were getting at. But when Jesus answered the question that the kingdom of God is already with you, and it's in people, it's not gained by observation. They wanted to see the Messiah come and set up his kingdom, a very visible thing. And he's saying, no, the kingdom of God is within you, and this has to do when we recognize who the Messiah is. We put our faith in Christ as that Messiah, and our sins are forgiven and all. But leading up to, in answer to their question, when the Messiah would come, that's what he's talking about here. And before that takes place, of course, the believers have to be removed from the world, and that's what he references there in verse 26 about the days of Noah, and also in verse 28 about in the days of Lot. They're caught away. In fact, he says in verse 34, I tell you that in that night, therefore, or there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. And this is saying about some people will be caught up to heaven, some people won't. Believers will, those who are not believers won't. And the other thing that it mentions here, two men in one bed, this is people sleeping for the night. The two women grinding, that's early in the day. They're preparing the meal and everything to fix for food, you know, to make bread and everything, grinding the grain to make meal. And then the two men in the field, that's during the day they're working. So the rapture, the catching away of the believers, is an event that takes place across the entirety of the globe. It'll be night some places, it'll be morning some places, it'll be middle of the day some places, you know, when that takes place, and the believers will be taken, the others left. And
is this talking about symbolic, or is this, was God being symbolic, Jesus being symbolic about this, or was this?
Well, I guess you could say symbolic in the sense like the two men working in the field, one taken and the other left, that's right. Symbolic of the fact that their believers will be taken, the unbelievers will be left.
Right.
But it's literal in the sense that some will be taken and some will be left, because when in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard, only the believers will be taken. So if you have a saved individual working alongside of an unsaved individual, the unsaved individual will be left and the believer will be taken. You can have a situation perhaps where you have a husband and wife where one spouse is saved and the other one is not. And in the middle of the night, the saved spouse is taken, the other one is left. Now, we're not talking about same-sex marriages here, two men sharing the same bed. This is just two men, they're sleeping. And this was a common thing in many parts of the world, throughout much of the world's history, is people shared beds with each other. I remember I shared the bed with my younger brother for many years. And I remember I was thankful when he broke his foot and he had a cast on his foot. He had to sleep on the couch. I got the whole bed to myself. You know, maybe that's a little selfish on my part.
I said this scripture to somebody one time about men in one bed, and the one lady got really offended by it. She was a Christian, too, a believer, right?
Yeah.
And she was really offended by it. What do you mean talking about? It says right here, two men within one bed.
There's nothing untoward here. It's just this is a fact of life, you know.
Yeah.
Here in many parts of the world, you know, if you go back, let me put it this way. There's a group of Republicans. They're called the Log Cabin Republicans. And the reason they're called the Log Cabin Republicans, well, Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president. He lived in a log cabin. Well, why did they pick that? Well, Abraham Lincoln traveled a bit, and frequently in his travels, he would stop somewhere, stay somewhere, and the inns and things that people stayed in that day and age, oftentimes, if they had a bed, they'd put more than one person in the bed. And so you would share a bed sometimes with a complete stranger. You know, they didn't put men in the beds with women. They just two men in the same bed. And that was a fact of life. Nothing untoward, nothing sexual or any deviancy or anything involved. It was just that, you know, you didn't have heating in the room. So in the wintertime, having another person in the bed made it a lot warmer, for one thing. You know, remember the royal family in England, the little dogs that they have, I can't remember the breed, but they were bred for the royal family because they would put them down in the bed before the king or the queen or the prince or whatever, the princess would go to bed, the little dog would go underneath the covers and warm the bed up, and then could actually sleep there with them and provide warmth. And so it was common for people to share the same bed. You didn't have a whole lot of beds. You didn't have a hotel like you have today where everybody gets their own bed and everything. They just all slept in one bed, and that's just a fact of life. So they claim that Abraham Lincoln must have been homosexual because he shared a bed with men. And so hence the term log cabin Republicans. There that is an implication that Abraham Lincoln was homosexual, which is not at all true. And so there's nothing untoward in this statement. It's just a fact. This is how people slept. This is how people lived. I mean, I remember when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. There were places where everybody, they had sleeping mats. That was their bed. It was a sleeping mat made woven from pandanus leaves. And you would put a couple of people on one mat. That just was a fact of life. That's what they did. You know, and nothing untoward or anything. But we read that sort of stuff into it, which is a sad commentary on the day in which we live, isn't it?
And at the end here, the Pharisees said, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, where whatsoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
Yes.
You know, they even asked him after everything he said. He said, where?
Yeah. And, of course,
where?
Yeah, we're going to be gathered together where the Lord is. And, these are the events that's leading up to the coming of the Lord. We're going to be gathered up to be with him. And then the events of the tribulation are going to take place, and eventually, the end of the tribulation will take place. The Lord will come back in power and glory, defeat the Antichrist, and set up his kingdom on earth. And spent a good bit of time of that in the 10 o'clock hour. I would encourage people, if you didn't hear the 10 o'clock hour, later this week I'll have that loaded online, and you can listen to that. Talking about the discussion of the timeline, the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, and then eternity in the future. So,
Are you going to be on the air next week? Or?
We will be on the air. It's looking like we will have to pre-record, though. I'll be honest about that. We will have a program though on the air. It won't be a prior program. It'll be a new program. Because we'll be likely pre-recording this week, we won't be able to have the callers and things like we normally do. We will have a program ready. And speaking of which, we will be talking a little bit later on why Jesus had to become a man and dwell among us. We'll be talking about that in the last half hour of the program, which is coming up soon. And I do see we've got another caller on the board as well, Terry. I'm going to go to our next caller here. But thank you for calling, Terry, and a Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And we'll be talking, I know, in the future. So you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Well, trying to keep warm.
It's cold. 25 degrees when I got out of my car at the studio tonight. So obviously you're not calling from Florida.
No, I'm
probably wish you were.
I'm north of you and south of Terry.
Oh, there we go. Hopefully that doesn't put you in the middle of Lake Erie. But
I wouldn't want to be on a boat tonight.
No, it was a little windy this evening, so I wouldn't want to be out on the lake either.
Well, I know the bottom of the hour is coming up, so
yes.
I don't know if you want to hold me over.
Well, let's see what we got. We'll get going and we'll go for it.
Okay. You were talking with Terry about the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
And if the coming of the Lord will be like the days of Noah,
mm-hmm.
Everybody except Noah and his family were eliminated, doesn't that mean that the people that are left behind will all be destroyed at that time?
Well, the people that were left behind when Noah went on the ark, those that were not on the ark were all subject to the wrath of God that was poured out on the world at that time. And that's what will happen when the tribulation comes. The people who are left behind will be subject to the wrath of God that's poured out on the world at that time.
But the ones that weren't with Noah, they all were killed, weren't they?
Yeah, because they were all subject to the wrath of God. But this is where the difference is. During the tribulation period, the Bible clearly says that there'll be vast numbers of people who embrace Christ as their Savior during the tribulation period, but nevertheless, they're still going to be here going through that period. Some things during that period, they will be divinely protected from. And the purpose of the tribulation period is a little different than the purpose of the flood. With the flood, God's stated purpose was to destroy all people off from the planet because of their wickedness and their rejection of Him. But the purpose of the tribulation period, when you read Daniel chapter 9, where he talks about the 70th week in his prophecy of 70 weeks of years, he says that part of the purpose is to bring Israel to the point where they'll not only embrace Christ as their Savior, but it'll also and as their Messiah, but also it will wrap up all the things and the judgments that need to take place with Israel so that Israel will be in a position where they'll come to recognize Christ as their Messiah and be ready for the millennial kingdom to take place. So some of the purposes are a little bit different, but the point, the principle, and likewise as in the days of Lot, Lot and his daughters were spared the wrath of God which came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same principle there. The people who are left behind are going to endure the wrath of God. The people who are caught away escape the wrath of God. Does that help you there?
Well, I had a follow-up question, if you want to hold me over.
Yeah, if you can hold on. We've got a few seconds, and we're going to have a break here. So don't go away. Stay tuned. We've got our half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can learn about me, find out more, read some of our materials that I have there, as well as listen to past programs. And also, you can click over and link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And also, a reminder, invite you to visit us at our Saturday night Christmas Eve candlelight service, 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, December 24th, this coming Saturday. And we'd love to have you visit us. We are at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio, Suite 200, right near where Interstate 77 and Interstate 271 cross, right in that general vicinity. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and I want to touch on why Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. But before we do that, I'm going to finish up with our caller. John called in earlier and waited patiently, and we were in the middle of talking about as in the days of Noah and all, and we didn't quite get to all of his questions, so John has patiently waited even more through the break. John, thanks for waiting. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Some people think that the 70th week of Daniel pertains to Israel.
Yes, it does.
They believe that the tribulation of Israel occurred between 66 and 73 A.D. And at the middle of the week, the middle of the week is when the sacrifices ended, when the temple was destroyed in 70.
Yeah, and there's a lot of problems with that. Part of the problem with that is that John wrote about it in Revelation as yet future, and he wrote about it after that took place as yet future. And the other problem with that is that when all of that took place, we did not have the Mark of the Beast instituted. We did not have the image made that people had to bow down. We didn't have the world ruled by the 10 kingdoms, which was overseen by the Antichrist, the world leader. And we did not have the ability at that time that John talks about for the two witnesses, who, by the way, we did not have occur either during that time. We did not have the ability for the entire world to see their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days and three nights. And we have no record of the two witnesses not only laying there, but also being resurrected and ascending up into heaven at that time. And the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vial judgments of Revelation, none of that took place during that time. So there are people who believe that, but that's something that largely was instituted with the Catholic Church and a lot of Protestants, because they came out of the Catholic Church, carried Catholic baggage with them. And some of that was instituted in order to allow the church to claim the promises that God had yet reserved for Israel. But Daniel chapter 9 makes it very clear that 70 weeks in verse 24 are determined upon thy people, that's the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to bring reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And we did not see the millennial kingdom of Christ begin with Jesus ruling and reigning over the earth after those events took place back then. So,
I always felt that he started reigning at the point when he was ascended into heaven, when he sat at the right hand of the Father.
Well, but he's not ruling from a physical throne on earth like the Bible says that he will. He has not come and been received by the Jewish people as their king like the Bible says that he will. He is not sitting in a temple in Jerusalem like the Bible says that he will. None of that has happened yet, so that can't be true.
I always thought that the temple was the one that's referred to in Hebrews, where he serves as the high priest in heaven.
No, the Bible talks about a rebuilt temple on earth that that eventually, first thing will happen is that during the tribulation period, the Antichrist will go into that temple and declare himself to be God, and then there'll be the demand that he's worshipped as God. And then, of course, we have Jesus ruling over the earth. There's a great earthquake such as the world has never seen. The Mount of Olives splits in two, you know, when Jesus returns. None of those things have happened. So what you're saying is not biblical, because none of the things that precede that have happened yet. So now he is in heaven, right? That is true, but he is not on the earth. You cannot go to Jerusalem and go into the temple and see Jesus Christ physically in the flesh there, which the Bible says that he will be there for 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, where for 1,000 years people will actually be able to go there and see him. We don't have any record of wormwood crashing into the earth. We don't have, you know, a third of the life in the seas destroyed. We don't have all of the plagues and everything that took place in Revelation have not occurred yet. Though Jesus may be king in heaven, you know, and on a throne in heaven, he has not come to the earth to set up on an actual physical throne on earth, which is yet future. We've not had the return of Christ with the thousands of his saints, tens of thousands of saints, as the Bible says. None of that has happened yet. And again, like I said, the Roman Catholic Church changed the belief. The early church understood that Jesus was going to return one day in a literal form and set up a kingdom on earth. The Roman Catholic Church changed the teaching, and a lot of Protestants brought that with them. And that's why some people don't understand that today, because their church comes from the history that's been altered. And when you follow what the Bible says, it's very clear that hasn't happened yet.
Well, let me ask you, if you feel that he comes and sits on a physical throne here on earth, what kind of body would he have sitting on a throne on earth?
A physical body, just like he had when he resurrected from the grave. He said that he had a physical body. People said they thought he saw a ghost when he first appeared to the disciples, and he said, "Touch me and feel me." They could feel that he had flesh and bone. He ate food. He showed that he wasn't a spirit. He had a body of flesh and bone. And when the rapture takes place, the resurrection of we will be caught up to be with the Lord, and our present physical body will be transformed into a new body. That won't have the sin nature that we currently have, but it'll still be a physical body. And Jesus will return to the earth in a physical body that he possesses even now in heaven, and that he was resurrected with. And in that physical body, he will sit on a physical throne. You could go up and shake his hand.
Wow.
Yeah, during the millennial reign of Christ. What's that?
I had one more question.
Yes, and I'm just watching the clock because I just got a little bit of time left, but go ahead.
Okay. Talking about the days of Noah, Peter says that everything will melt being intensely hot. When do you think that happens?
That happens in Revelation chapter number 21, where John says, "Yeah, I saw a new heaven and a new earth." That is what Peter is referring to. It'll be a new heaven, a new earth. I encourage people to go back and listen, if you can, to the first hour of our program, the 10 o'clock hour. We actually went into that in depth. So because the current earth, the current physical realm is tainted with sin, and we need a new earth cleansed from the stain and the stink of sin. And likewise, the spiritual realm has to be cleansed from the stain and stink of sin as well, because that's where Satan's rebellion took place. So, if you get a chance, go back live with pastoral.com. I'll try and get that up here in the next day or two. And I go into that in depth right there, John. But
will that happen after Jesus sits on a physical throne?
Yeah, because it's in chapter 21. Chapter 20 deals with the millennial kingdom of Christ. Chapter 19 deals with the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation. Chapter 20 deals with the millennial reign of Christ. And it says several times there, 1,000 years. It's very clear that it's 1,000 years. And then in chapter 21 is the new heaven and the new earth, and then that goes into eternity in the future. But John, I got another caller calling in. And we can talk about this if you call back in the future. We'll talk about some more. Glad to do that. Kind of getting up against the clock right now, though, so we got a couple things to get through yet. But appreciate the call. Merry Christmas to you. So, and we've got Dave calling in tonight. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al. Oh, you know I listen to you every Sunday night. Well, I listen most of your time to that station, WHK, anyway. But my question real quick. I've had a question with some friends, and I said the man is the head of the house in an average marriage, if I remember that's in the Bible, and I don't know where. And I said, and there's another thing that no one brings up. Now, I say in the Bible it says men should have short hair and women should have longer hair, if I got it right. But, of course, today you can do what you want, and everybody does. Like, real ladies in my day, in the 50s, wore white gloves, you know, long white gloves, a scarf on their head, and they either wore a dress or skirts, like my sister. She never wore anything, and my mom wore dresses or skirts. But that's completely different but I'm saying that's how it was. But my question was, where in the Bible can I point out to them that it does say men should have short hair? And that's the way my dad and mom believed, and that's how I believe.
Well, yeah, and that's actually pretty easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. It says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for covering.
Yes, and I thought it said that.
Yep.
Now, if it says that, okay, here's another question I'll bring up. All the disciples in them days, and including Jesus, in the pictures I've seen depicted, let's put it that way, they all have long hair. But, of course, people in that day did, I believe, because that was the custom, I guess. But if it says it in the Bible, but Jesus had long hair.
Well,
is that correct?
Yeah, those pictures that you're talking about were largely painted by Europeans.
Uh-huh.
And many of them had adopted the longer hair at the time.
Right.
And, of course, long hair is kind of relative, too. You know,
yeah,
some people would say if you got hair that touches the top of your ear, it's long. And other people would say it's short. But if you look at Roman coins of the era that Christ lived, Caesar had hair that was shorter. It was shorter hair. And many of the people back then actually cut, or there's a term that's used, pulled their hair, you know, not pull, P-U-L, but pull, P-O-L-L. And basically they kept their hair shorter. It may not have been looked like a U.S. Marine style haircut, but it was shorter. It definitely wasn't hanging down to their shoulders or something like that. They kept their hair cut relatively short. And most likely Jesus himself probably had similar hairstyle, but, you know, Western European or Europeans painting Jesus painted him with fair skin and longish hair because that's the way the aristocrats lived. And since they were funding the artwork, they painted Jesus to look more like them. And in reality, he probably had a fairly, darker complexion, you know, Middle Eastern man living in that day out in the sun all the time.
It would make sense.
Shorter hair.
Pastor L, when did anybody ever ask that question? You know, I thought of that, and I said, darn it, I know it's in the Bible somewhere. And you said Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 11, 14.
1 Corinthians 11, 14. Yeah, okay, I don't want to keep you because I listen to your program every Sunday, and I listen to all that programs on the station there.
Well, I appreciate
that. That station. Yes, thank you very much, and I'm glad you're on a little longer. My sister
thank you.
Down in Florida. Bye-bye.
All right, God bless. Merry Christmas to you. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know we're coming up on the clock, but I promised that I was going to talk here in the last half hour about why Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. I've been trying each week here leading up to Christmas to give a little information to broaden your understanding about what happened and with what we celebrate at the time of Christ. And we talked about the Christmas tree, and we talked about how some people think Jeremiah chapter 10, I believe it is, condemns the Christmas tree as an idol. It does not. Some people may come up with other reasons to condemn the Christmas tree, but Jeremiah chapter 10 is not it. They didn't fasten it up as an evergreen tree and put decorations on it. They took a tree, they cut it down, they skinned off the bark, the branches, and they carved it, and they hammered gold and silver and plates on it to turn it into the idol to look like a man or something. And they were making an idol there. I went into that, and that article's online at livewithpastoral.com. We also talked about why the virgin birth was necessary, and one of the reasons is because by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And So as a consequence, if Jesus had a human father, he would have had a sin nature. He couldn't have been our Savior. And also, though we didn't touch this part of it as much, Joseph, his stepfather, was of the line of David, but he was also in the line that was cursed not to be able to sit on the throne. Mary, on the other hand, was also the line of David, and she came through David's son Nathan, and so she was not under that curse. So those are part of the reasons why Jesus why Jesus needed to have a virgin birth. And then we also talked about who the shepherds were that the angels appeared to, and they were the Levitical shepherds who were overseeing the birth of the lambs that would be certified for use as sacrifices in the temple, especially for Passover. And the shepherds would inspect the lambs when they were born, make sure that they were without blemish and no broken limbs or anything, and they would wrap a cloth around them so they couldn't move and wander off or get injured or anything, and lay them in a manger separate from the others. And then that's why the sign was so important, that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. It was just like they were preparing the lambs that were set aside for sacrifice. And that's because Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. He's the lamb of God that was sacrificed for our sins. So all those things are amazing. But why was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? And there's a variety of reasons, and I've got a longish article on this. It's online at liveatpastoral.com, and I can't touch everything here in just a few minutes, but Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. As God, he was perfect in his holiness and without sin, completely without sin. As man, he was able to live in this world and then die on the cross. In Romans 8, verses 3 through 4 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It was necessary so that God would be able not only to live amongst us sinners and not destroy us with his presence, but also be able to go to the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And this is the importance of the birth of Christ. He was made in the form of a man. He was being found in fashion of a man so that he could eventually go to the cross. If he came in his glory, that could never have happened. And so he needed to do this. Remember, he has never ceased to be God. He was God at the moment that Christ child was conceived in the womb of Mary. He was God incarnate in the flesh. And so Jesus, as God in the flesh, came into this world in the form of a man so that he could go to the cross. And there's just so much with this. I know I'm kind of hurrying through this, but when we look at what happened here Genesis chapter 1, of course, we know God was creating us in his image, and in order to redeem us, God had to be incarnated in our image, and that's why he's called the Son of Man. And so Jesus took on the form of a man and dwelt among us so that he could go to the cross. Let me just jump through here a little bit further. This article that I had written here, when Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And that's what had to happen. He had to become a man to dwell among us. Let me continue on in verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sacrificeth and they who are sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he became flesh and blood, and he did that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And then he says this, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that's us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, that are tempted. And there's more in there, but this was so that he could purchase our salvation. Philippians 2 verse 5 starts out, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given a name above every name. And the purpose of the incarnation, quite simply, was so that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, could come into this world, live in this world, and then go to the cross, where he sacrificed himself and shed his blood to pay for our sins, and was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death. That's the gift of salvation. That's why Christ came. Join us next week. Merry Christmas and God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.